All right, welcome back to the program. 11:05 here on 570 News Midday on 570 News and Rogers TV. The David Suzuki Foundation is excited that they have launched the Blue Dot Tour. It's a cross-country journey to support a simple yet powerful idea that all Canadians should have the right to drink clean water, breathe fresh air, and eat healthy food. Right now, more than 110 nations around the world recognize their citizens' right to live in a healthy environment, but not Canada. And from September 24th, so this started back on September 24th, to November 9th, the Blue Dot Tour is visiting 20 communities across Canada. It will feature David Suzuki and a star-studded lineup of performers, artists, and leaders who are standing together to see that every Canadian's rights to live in a healthy environment are legally recognized. David Suzuki is an award-winning geneticist. He's an author, he's a broadcaster, and of course, the co-founder of the David Suzuki Foundation. He's in town today at the Center in the Square. Take some time to join the conversation. David, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm feeling very good. Thank you.
So this is about, you know, the fact that a healthy environment should be legally recognized in this country, correct?
Right. I think that we should take for granted that our country is a country that believes that to be healthy, we need to have a healthy environment. We'll enshrine that in the Constitution, so we guarantee it. I think Canadians would be surprised because we think of our country as this huge country with a small population, but Health Canada tells us that 50% of Canadians live in an area where the air exceeds what's considered a healthy level. They live in polluted air. That every day in Canada, there are at least 1,000 boil water alerts out there. So what's going on in a country that we should be able to guarantee our citizens a right to be able to drink out of your tap and not worry whether there's pollutants in it or it might have that E. coli or something in there? We think that this is a fundamental right.
I saw a video of you talking about, and I found this very interesting, you talk about this idea of the future. And I found that so captivating and so interesting where you talk about that, you know, humans are one of the species on this planet that have invented this idea of the future. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, it's a great gift. You know, the human brain was what compensated for the fact that we weren't as fast or as strong, that our vision or hearing wasn't as good as the other animals that shared our birthplace with us out in Africa somewhere. And so the brain was really the key to our survival. And what the human brain did was something no other animal has done. And that is we invented this idea of a future. And because we have this idea of a future, we realized we can affect the future by what we do today. You could, if you were walking along a path and it split in two, you could say, well, gee, I went down that path to the right, and a couple of months ago I met a saber-toothed tiger, but if I went to the left, I found something good to eat, so I'm going to the left. So based on what we decide today, we could determine our future and a better chance at survival. I believe foresight, this ability to look ahead, was really the gift that enabled us to become as successful as we are. And today we have all of the advanced ability to look ahead. We have supercomputers, we have scientists and engineers, and for over 40 years they've been telling us, look, human activity is undermining some of the things that we need to live. That is, we're polluting the air, we're poisoning the water, we're throwing toxic chemicals into the soil that we grow our food on. And so we feel that if we enshrine the right to a healthy environment, that would make us look at the way that we're behaving in a different way. And it would get us out of a lot of the battles that environmentalists have had.
Where do you think the environment ranks on people's, on the everyday average Canadian list of priorities? Where do you think the environment ranks?
Very high. If you ask Canadians today, over 90% of them, and this has gone on year after year, over 90% of Canadians say that nature is absolutely critical to our identity and to who we are. And 85% of them in the polls that I've seen say, yes, we think that we should have the right to a healthy environment in our Constitution. So this is not a minor or a radical idea. This is something that Canadians agree. Now, of course, the problem is we get caught up in our daily issues of, gee, you know, I hope I get a raise next week, or I hope I don't get fired. I mean, the economy is so important to us for our daily activities that we tend to register those as our most important issues. But underlying that, Canadians understand very, very well that we've got to protect our environment in a much better way than we're doing.
With David Suzuki on the line, award-winning geneticist, author, broadcaster, co-founder of the David Suzuki Foundation. He's in town today at the center in the square. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. So we were talking about where the environment ranks on people's lists, and I agree with you. I think it ranks quite high. And then you mentioned that the economy, other issues, you know, we get caught up in. We kind of, you know, for example, right now, I mean, this fight on terror again, you know, with ISIS and ISIL in Iraq and sending warplanes there. Again, it's dominating headlines. It's dominating headlines. So is it governments then that aren't taking the environment and putting it at the top of their priority list? If it's so important to everybody across the country, why is it more being done?
Because what we do is we have a very short vision. You know, if you think of the corporate sector, corporations live and die by the quarterly report. That's what they're focused on, you know, how are our stocks going to do? Well, the quarterly report's looking good, so we're going to... So, you know, corporations are they're focused on that short term, and politicians, the minute a politician is elected, the first priority they have is getting reelected. And that means they've got to appeal to the people that are going to vote in the next election. Well, children don't vote. Okay, or for that matter, future generations don't even exist. And so, you know, can you imagine a person running for office who says, look, if you elect me, I'm going to make sure that we commit billions of dollars every year for future generations? I mean, they wouldn't have a chance. And yet what we're doing then is going full tilt in a way that is undermining the very things that keep our children and future generations happy and healthy. So, you know, if we get caught up in that daily grind, and you very well know with 24-hour news channels now on radio and television, you've got to grind through stuff all the time, which means you're constantly looking for what, you know, what is, oh my goodness, ISIS, yeah, and they're beheading people. That's so horrible. And meanwhile, scientists are saying, look, the direction we're going is going to be a greater danger to human survival than all-out nuclear war. We got to do something about climate change. It's going to destroy the economy, but we're too focused on short-term things to deal with that. So I think that that's what we're trying to do now in the tour, is to appeal to people for some of their underlying basic understandings and values. And we're saying, we know that you want your children and grandchildren to have a healthy environment. We know that. Everybody does. But that's not on the political or the corporate agenda. And that's why on this tour, we're not inviting politicians to come along and posture with us and do all that stuff. We're just asking grassroots, ordinary people to come out. And if they agree, and I know they do, that a healthy environment is something that we want enshrined in our Constitution, then we will tell the people that are supposed to be representing us what we want, and they'll have to follow us.
Mm-hmm.
It's time that we started indicating what our deep-seated values and our priorities really are.
You were in St. John last Tuesday, I believe, and you congratulated David Kuhn on winning his first green seat in New Brunswick legislature last week. Interesting quote, though, where you say that it's almost, you know, the Green Party. This is the question is about the Green Party. It's almost like if you say that you're part of the Green Party, if you say that you're an environmentalist, there is one word, for example. Well, he's an environmentalist, so that means that nothing else is on his radar. He just wants, you know, green, green, green. So this
word.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. This is the problem. I was congratulating the people in St. John that David Kuhn was now a member of Parliament, because I've known David and his wife, Janice, for over 30 years. They've been tireless activists in New Brunswick. You know, they could have come to Toronto, they could have come to Vancouver and worked with a lot of people, but they've hung in there in New Brunswick, and they've worked to try to make sure that New Brunswick has clean air, clean water. That's what I was congratulating them for. But I told David, and I've told Elizabeth May the same thing, there shouldn't be a Green Party. This is crazy, because the minute you say green or the minute you say environmentalist, you get hung up on being, oh, that's your issue. And the other parties all act as if, well, we don't have to worry about the environment. That's a green issue. Our issue is the economy. Well, that's crazy. So, you know, yes, it's great that there are people like Elizabeth and David Kuhn in office, but not because they represent a Green Party. The issue of the environment, healthy environment, should be every party's agenda, not just the party of the environment. And that's why I like to point out that in France, the introduction of a charter for the environment was not a left-wing government. It was Jacques Chirac, who was a conservative government, and he introduced the idea. They had public meetings across France. 70,000 citizens took part in these citizen meetings to discuss this idea. And when Jacques Chirac introduced the charter for the environment, it was supported by all of the political parties. It should not be a political football. And that's also the problem. I don't call myself an environmentalist anymore, because that immediately puts me into a peg hole. And what we say in the tour is that when we look for a healthy environment, that also means that we're interested in social justice, in issues of hunger and poverty, and issues of local people that have to live next to a polluting pulp mill because that's where the cheap prices are. This is also about economic issues and socioeconomic conditions of disadvantaged people. So we don't see this as an environmental issue, although we talk about a healthy environment. It's clean air, clean water, clean food that comes from the soil. And social justice is an important part of that.
Yeah, I've always found that very interesting how, you know, one little word just changes everybody's outlook on somebody that's, running for parliament or what have you. David, let me ask you about this Blue Dot Tour. You've been going since September 24th. It ends off November 9th. If I'm not mistaken, you're at the Centre in the Square tonight. First of all, are tickets still available?
I think they just released a small number. So if people go, they can get some, but it's, I don't know, 98% sold mm-hmm. out.
And what exactly are folks going to expect at the Centre in the Square tonight?
Well, they're going to be entertained. One of the most powerful people there is a poet named Shane Coyson, who some people may remember opened the Winter Olympics in Vancouver and just blew people away. And Shane right now has been very, very famous because of his poem on bullying that has just gone around the world. And he wrote a poem for the Blue Dot Tour that, I'll be honest with you, when he first did his poem in Halifax, I just cried. It's so powerful because he just goes straight to your heart with some very, very strong truths. There'll be entertainers there. I'm not sure who all has come along, but there'll be some well-known entertainers. I think Danny Michel is going to be there. He was great in Toronto, and he's going to be here. He's a local boy. And there'll be speakers there. There'll be First Nations people to welcome us and open the event. But it's going to be entertaining. And we had an event at Massey Hall that was sold out, and that was absolutely incredible. Stephen Lewis spoke and just knocked people out. Shane Coyson was there, and we had lots of entertainment there, including the Bare Naked Ladies. And it'll be a similar thing here in Waterloo. And then we've got people all across the country. They're going to be ending up with a big bang in Vancouver when Neil mm-hmm. Young and Feist. And I think there tonight is Whitehorse, too, which is an up-and-coming group that's really making it big. So I'd say to your listeners, hey, get on the phone and get one of the last tickets that's available.
All right, David, looking forward to it. Thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good talking to you.
All right, David Suzuki right there. He's an award-winning geneticist, author, broadcaster. He's the co-founder of the David Suzuki Foundation. Let me ask you this. Where does the environment rank on your list? Phone lines are open. Numbers are coming your way. We'll take your calls and emails straight ahead on Rogers TV and 570 News.
That's not on the political or the corporate agenda, and that's why on this tour, we're not inviting politicians to come along and posture with us and do all that stuff. We're just asking grassroots, ordinary people to come out, and if they agree, and I know they do, that a healthy environment is something that we want enshrined in our Constitution, then we will tell the people that are supposed to be representing us.
570 Midday continues with Eric Drost.
All right, welcome back. 11:24 here on 570 News Midday. That's David Suzuki, award-winning geneticist. He's an author, he's a broadcaster, he's a co-founder of the David Suzuki Foundation, and he's at the Center in the Square tonight. 519-570-2545, locally, out of town, 1-800-570-5715. Star 570 by cell on the email, eric@570news.com. This is Mark on the line. Hi, Mark. Where does the environment rank on your list?
Extremely high. I don't usually call twice in one day. This is my second time calling. But I have to first thank Mr. Suzuki for trying to point some of these things out. But there's two small, I'm going to make this short and sweet, two small points. The world can survive without economics. The world cannot survive without environment. And maybe we could take some of our war money and spend it on ourselves to save us from ourselves.
All right, Mark, I do appreciate the phone call, and you make two very good points. We were just talking about sending warplanes over to Iraq to fight ISIL, and earlier this morning had a lot of response on that. And Mark says, why don't we take some of that money and try to fix our environment? You know, it's so interesting talking to David Suzuki, who spent his entire life trying to bring to the forefront, trying to bring and raise awareness about the environment, about this planet. That's why this is called the Blue Dot Tour. And listening to him talk about that word environmentalism, an environmentalist. As soon as you label somebody as an environmentalist, it means that they're a tree hugger, that they know nothing about the economy. And I think it's sad. I really do, because I think that it's not the case. And I liked what he said, when it should be every party's agenda. It should be on every party's agenda, the environment, not just the Green Party. This is Larry on the line. Hi, Larry. Go ahead.
I'm glad you had David Suzuki on your program. What I wanted to mention was that our local Mennonites are a good example of people who live in harmony with Mother Nature. They do a good job of protecting our local environment, and I think they could probably provide us with a lot of insights as to a good, healthy lifestyle. I've spent a lot of time in Mennonite country when I had horses, and I used to ride through their farmland and that, and they were out there with the teams of horses working in the fields, and well, it was just something very special in my mind to have had that experience, and I think they've got a lot of things right.
Yeah, Larry, thanks so much for the phone call. You bring up a very valid point in the Mennonite community here locally, that's for sure. 11:27 here on 570 News Midday, coming up at 11:35. So regional councillor Jane Brewer has announced that she will not sit on regional council anymore. However, her name will remain on the ballot. We'll be speaking with Chris Fletcher, regional clerk and the director of the Council of Administrative Services with the region at 11:35 here on Rogers TV and 570 News. All right, welcome back. 11:35 here on 570 News Midday on 570 News and Rogers TV. Looks like we're getting some sun poking through the clouds this morning, which is always nice to see. Coming up at 12:05, we'll be speaking with the organizers of the KW Ebola March that happened on the weekend. Of course, Ebola still in the news. And this is a march that happened on Saturday, I believe. They'll be joining me in studio. Right now, this is a very interesting case. Last week, 90-year-old regional councillor Jane Brewer unofficially withdrew her candidacy from regional council due to a health issue. But her name will still appear on the ballot in this year's municipal election. And that is bringing up a lot of questions leading up to the October 27th vote. Joining me on the line right now is Chris Fletcher, regional clerk and director of council and administrative services. Chris, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing very well. This is an interesting case because a lot of people are saying, first of all, how did this happen? How does a name still remain on a ballot if somebody's saying, I will not take the seat?
So under the Municipal Elections Act, there is a period that is prescribed for withdrawals, and that was September the 12th by 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And so Councillor Brewer, unfortunately, did not make her decision to withdraw until after that time.
And so now her name will be on the ballot come election time. So what happens if she was to get elected?
So first of all, there's a couple of things we have to consider. So one of the things that the region is doing is launching a communications campaign along with the City of Cambridge to make sure that the public knows that she does not intend to take office. So, I mean, I think we need to work on that piece first to make sure that the electorate is well aware that Councillor Brewer does not intend to go on to the next term. And we're going to work very hard to ensure that the electorate is informed about that. But if for some reason Councillor Brewer was elected, it would then be up to the new regional council to determine how they wish to fill her seat and whether that is by by-election or by appointment.
Now, because Councillor Brewer was, you know, has held a seat for quite some time, I mean, it's not really out of the realm of possibility that the electorate that has voted for her might, you know, because she may have been considered a shoo-in, right? So that communication that you were talking about in trying to get the electorate informed that she does not intend to take office, what types of things are you doing?
So we are going to launch an overall kind of media release campaign, including using the local media to help get the message out, as well as certainly the clerk from the City of Cambridge and I are in discussions now about how can we post things on our existing municipal websites, how can we use social media, and you know, how can we use the other candidates as well as candidates who are also running in Cambridge for other offices to help us get the word out as well. Certainly, the City of Cambridge will also be posting in the actual electoral polls notices with respect to the fact that Councillor Brewer does not intend to take office.
You can't put that on the ballot, can you?
No, we can't.
Mm-hmm. So what happens if, for some reason, as you say, Councillor Brewer was to get reelected? Could the other candidates then say, you know, if she's not going to take office, then she got the votes. I mean, or what if she doesn't get elected, but still gets a good chunk of the votes? Can the other candidates then say, look, this is skewed?
I think there is that possibility that the other candidates could say, you know, there was a certain number of votes that either end up in Councillor Brewer's, you know, bucket at the end of the night. And that may cause certain candidates concern, particularly when you're electing two candidates in Cambridge. And so there's already a fair amount of vote splitting that goes on when you have people who have an opportunity to elect two candidates. So it will be hard to determine whether or not this is the only factor that would determine kind of any kind of vote splitting that may go on.
We're on the line with Chris Fletcher, regional clerk. Councillor Jane Brewer has announced that she will not sit on regional council, but her name will remain on the ballot. If Jane Brewer was to win, could she then change her mind and take office?
Technically, yes, she could. However, I have a letter from Jane Brewer saying that she does not intend to take office, and I fully respect that letter that she has provided me.
Has this type of thing ever happened before?
Not within Waterloo Region, but we are certainly not the only municipality where a candidate has withdrawn late have had to go through similar kind of process. There are certainly other candidates throughout the province of Ontario who have done that as well, and I understand that there may be a school board representative within Waterloo Region that is doing exactly the same thing.
At this point, Chris, have there been any of the other candidates that have said anything, that have voiced any concerns?
No, not to me personally.
Okay. So I guess we'll have to see what happens going forward. I just find it such an interesting case. So other than the fact of that communication aspect that you're talking about, getting this information out to the electorate, there's nothing else that can be done. Her name cannot be removed from the ballot in any other way.
It cannot be.
Wow. Okay, Chris, I do thank you for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, Chris Fletcher right there, a regional clerk. So longtime regional councillor Jane Brewer announced a few weeks ago that she has no intention to sit on regional council anymore due to a health issue. Understandable. Fine. But her name will remain on the ballot because she missed the cutoff date to remove her name from the ballot. So now going into the October 27th election, her name will remain on the ballot despite the fact that she has no intention of running. So here's my question. What happens if Jane Brewer doesn't win but collects a good chunk of the votes? Could the other candidates not come out and say, hang on a second, this was a little skewed because she has no intention to take office, yet she came second in the polls? Should there be some kind of way of removing the name from the ballot? Do you think the name should be removed from the ballot? And what happens if she wins and, despite this letter that Chris Fletcher was talking about, decides to take office? It's a longtime counselor, well-known name. It's not all that crazy to think that a lot of people might be going to the polls just to checkmark her name. It's a very interesting case. Phone lines are open. Would love to know how you feel about this one. We'll take your calls and emails straight ahead on Rogers TV and 570 News.
Councillor Brewer does not intend to go on to the next term, and we're going to work very hard to ensure that the electorate is informed about that. But if for some reason Councillor Brewer was elected, it would then be up to the new regional council to determine how they wish to fill her seat.
570 Midday continues with Eric Drozd.
All right, welcome back. So a couple of issues regarding regional councillor Jane Brewer's decision to not run for regional council in the upcoming municipal election, citing health concerns, because the name will remain on the ballot. So a couple of questions come to mind. First of all, if Jane Brewer doesn't win this election, but still collects, this is the main issue, I think. If Councillor Brewer still collects a good chunk of the votes on October 27th, then the other candidates can turn around and say, how is this a fair election with somebody collecting votes that isn't intending to take office, that isn't intending to take seat? So now you could argue, if you're one of the other candidates, that it is skewed because there's a name on there. It'd be like putting a name on and not having a person actually running. It's exactly what it is. So that could actually skew some of the results of the election. And we cannot take the name off because Councillor Brewer missed the cutoff date to get your name off the ballot. And on top of that, if for whatever reason this communication for the electorate from the city doesn't work, from the region doesn't work, and people still think that she's running and wins somehow, then what do we do? Phone lines are open, 519-570-2545, locally, out of town, 1-800-570-5715, star 570 by cell on the email, eric@570news.com. Do you think there should be some kind of way? Do you think her name should be removed from the ballot if, as Chris Fletcher, regional clerk, mentioned that she has a letter saying that Councillor Brewer does not intend to take office, should there be a way of removing her name from the ballot? Now, there is another case, and Chris alluded to it when we had her on the line. It was a similar situation with a mayoral candidate in Amherstburg recently, and according to a report in the Rivertown Times, mayoral candidate Marty Adler is now back in the race after he learned he couldn't officially withdraw from it. So the candidate decided to forge ahead with the campaign, even after canceling work for his signs and campaign materials. So there's another case where, okay, I wasn't going to run, but now I can't officially get off the ballot, so what the heck, I'll run. So many questions and so many issues surrounding the fact that we can't get the name off the ballot. As if this needed to be any more complicated. 519-570-2545. Locally, out of town, 1-800-570-5715. Star 570 by cell. On the email, eric@570news.com. This is Gary on the line. Good morning, Gary. Should there be some kind of way to remove the name from the ballot?
Good morning. Well, you mentioned something about her health.
Right.
So,
yeah.
On those grounds alone, people should understand, well, she's not going to be able to perform properly, and she's sick. So, because she said health reasons,
right?
I think you have doctors to go along with that.
Sure.
And also, she could phone her main constituents and let that be known, so there won't be any votes for her.
Well, that's a very good point, Gary. And I think that's the issue, because the issue is that it is not inconceivable to think that a lot of people may vote for her, not hearing the news that she doesn't intend to run, because she's a longtime counselor, right? So some people simply are happy with the work that she's been doing and might just be going to the polling station,
right,
to just mark,
right,
her name, right?
Right, exactly. But how about this? At the polling station, because of the health reasons, she will be taken off the ballot when they go to vote.
But she can't. Her name cannot be legally removed from the ballot.
Well, maybe because of health reasons, when you actually go to vote, her name will not be there. And there might be some people going, why? But then you'll have some people to explain.
Mm-hmm.
The health situation, and hopefully it must be serious, because she's a longtime counselor and she would,
right,
you know,
I mean,
probably
I,
be
I,
into it.
I don't know. Thanks, Gary. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. I don't know the reasons for it, and that's really not the issue here. I mean, she's 90 years old. She's a longtime counselor. She doesn't want to run anymore, doesn't intend to take office because of health concerns. That's fine. That's not the issue here. The issue is that she missed the cutoff date to remove her name from the ballot. Before the health concerns, obviously, she was going to run again, because her name was on the ballot. Now, because of health concerns, she does not intend to take office, and she missed the date to get her name off the ballot. And legally, we cannot remove the name off the ballot. So, what happens if, for some reason, Jane Brewer wins? If Jane Brewer wins, then obviously she doesn't intend to take office. Now we, what, by election? Some different way to have someone else take that seat? And what if she doesn't win? If she doesn't win but still collects the second most amount of votes, then the other person that came third can say, hang on a second, if she wasn't intending to take office, yet she got the second most amount of votes, what would happen if she wasn't on the ballot? Maybe I could have won. Do you see what I'm saying? It could skew the outcome of the election with a name on the ballot that does not intend to take office. That's what I'm saying. So how do we remove the name off the ballot? Because that's clearly what needs to be done or should be done, but there's no way of doing it right now. So it could very well skew the outcome of the election, this particular election. And, I mean, here's the other thing. There's a lot of confusion, as you could probably tell. if somebody doesn't hear, now look, the region is doing a communication campaign where they're getting out to the electorate and they're saying that there's going to be a name on the ballot, Jane Brewer, she does not intend to take office, so you don't have to vote for her or don't vote for her. I don't know if you could even say that because, you know, can you go around and saying don't vote for somebody? I guess you can if they don't intend to take a seat, but this is the issue. This is where all the confusion comes out. So how do we get the name off the ballot? Should we get the name off the ballot? 519-570-2545 locally. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715. Star 570 by cell. On the email, eric@570news.com. This one on the email from Kevin. And Kevin says, Eric, I think there should be a way to remove the name from the ballot. She has been in politics for so many years. She would have known she was pulling out. I think this could be a plan. You have to think of how the council could pull a fast one. They could end up appointing a shoo-in person on the ballot. And this is the thing, because before Jane Brewer said that she doesn't have intention to take office because of health issues, from what I understand, she was a shoo-in because she's a longtime councillor, right? So all I'm saying is that some people might be going to cast a vote because they like the work that Jane Brewer was doing. So it could very well skew the outcome of this election. And if you're one of the other candidates running, you could very well have a leg to stand on to say this election result is skewed because there is a name on this ballot with a person who does not intend to take office. That's like me throwing my name on the ballot with no intention to run. 519-570-2545. Locally, out of town, 1-800-570-5715. Star 570 by cell on the email, eric@570news.com. Let's go to the phones now. This is Tody on the line.
Hi there.
Hi.
All I want to say is, why not just have a stamp made up that says void?
On the ballot?
Yeah.
Well, because Chris Fletcher, regional clerk, said you cannot put that on the ballot.
Why?
Legality reasons, I guess, but you can't do it.
No, but what's the reason?
Well, whatever the reason is, we know we can't do it, right? So you cannot put anything on the ballot. Right?
Anything can be changed.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So how do we so you're saying to put a stamp on it saying void?
Right. You have two people at the polling stations, right? So as they hand the ballot to the person,
mm-hmm.
before they hand it to the person, they stamp it.
Well, if it was that easy, I would think they'd be looking into it.
That's it. It's too easy, right?
Oh, I see what you're saying. All right, you're going down that route. Thanks so much for your phone call. Appreciate it. It is 11:57 here on 570 News Midday. It's an interesting case, nonetheless. Coming up at 12:05, we speak to the organizers of the KW Ebola March, which happened over the weekend. Ebola is still dominating headlines, of course, today, and something tells me it will continue to dominate headlines in the days and weeks to come. That's coming up next at 12:05 on Rogers TV and 570 News.